When you ask people, people have very different opinions about Bitcoin, especially at this point in time. But regardless of what your opinion about Bitcoin is, if you understand Bitcoin's fungibility and the security protocols around how this collateral is being stored, we really do think that it is an improved source of collateral compared to other types of collateral used in private credit funds.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is John Ruth, who's the co-founder of Build Asset Management, an investment fund and investment management company dedicated to strategies that provide income and risk mitigation opportunities for an ever-changing world. Build's most recent fund launch is a private credit fund offered in partnership with Unchained that uses Bitcoin as collateral. So obviously, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is why Bitcoin is such great collateral. This may be something you feel like you understand already, but even so, I imagine you're going to pick up something new along the way. Also, this is something that's more implied in today's interview, but it got me thinking about how Bitcoin as collateral can be an educational tool to help other people begin appreciating Bitcoin more. For instance, someone may invest in this fund because they like the potential returns. But in the process, they might begin learning more about why Bitcoin is such a great asset. Of course, before we get to our interview with John, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, which is actually an event that John is helping to put on. And I also want to give a shout out to those who have been supporting the show on Fountain in this last week. Thank you in particular to Bowtide, Groundhog, and No Waste BTC Signs, who've been streaming sats to Business Bitcoinization this week. If you would like to support the show, I encourage you to listen on Fountain and either stream some sats or send a boost if you have a particular message or comment that you want to leave about the show. One more quick note on Fountain. This last week, I got my dad set up with his podcast called Life Changing Discipleship. That's Life-Changing Discipleship. And I boosted him his first 5,000 sats. If Christian discipleship and ministry are something that interests you, you might want to check out that podcast as well. Now that leads us to this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And this week it's Bitcoin Expedition. Bitcoin Expedition is a one-day event in Missouri State Capitol, Jefferson City. Natalie Brunel, Marty Bent, and Parker Lewis will be sharing, along with former and upcoming podcast guests like Trey Sellers from Unchained and Becca and Rob from Anchor Watch. The event's being hosted by John Ruth and Matt Dines, founders of Build Asset Management. The morning sessions will tackle essential Bitcoin topics that newcomers and seasoned Bitcoiners will both enjoy, and the afternoon session will be focused on business strategies and low-time preference planning with a whole hog barbecue to close out the event. Get your tickets at bitcoin-expedition.com. That link is in the show notes below, along with a link to Oshi, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with John right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with a Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. John, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Good to be here.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Let's do it.
When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
It was about 2012 when I was a financial advisor and I worked predominantly with business owners. One of those business owners came into my office, which was rare. I usually met him at his plant, his manufacturing plant, and he wanted to buy Bitcoin. He wanted to set up an account right then and there. He wanted to buy Bitcoin. I can't remember what price it was at. You could look back at the charts and find it, I'm sure, the range. I had no idea what he was talking about. I certainly was not able to open an account and fund anything for him, you know, right then and there. So he was frustrated. He knew a little bit about it, but he really wanted in for the price action. Mm. You know, as I was asking, again, something I'd never heard of before when I was asking questions about what is it, what does it do? You know, he couldn't answer any of those, but he was sure it was going to appreciate in price. So I said, okay, I've got to call you back. So a call to our custodial department They have no idea what I'm talking about. A call to our compliance department. They had, you know, had a few other inquiries, but their general advice was, don't talk about it. We don't know what that is. We certainly don't have a way of, you know, servicing that individual. So I called them back with the bad news. And then I called Matt Dines, who I'm a partner with today at Build. You know, Matt knew about it. Matt encouraged me to look at it. I wrote him off. And so it really wasn't until 2018 when Matt and I got back together, rekindled our friendship into this business partnership at Build, that Matt was continuing to encourage me to look at Bitcoin. And I was, you know, I was doing some research, but really slow to the take until about 2020. And that wasn't because I was at home doing nothing, you know, with COVID, like others who, you know, seemed to rush into digital assets. It was really because I couldn't believe that we actually shut down the world economy and that we were turning the printers on, the money printers on at the same time at the rate that we were. And, you know, having done the research from 18 to 20, again, been spoon-fed by Matt every time that, you know, he and I had an in-person interaction or a drink together, it just finally clicked for me. And I said, okay, if this is going to work, it's going to work right now. And there wouldn't be a better time, you know, to start really considering this, you know, for our own portfolio. Mm-hmm. And of course, we started doing some things to get the business involved, which we can get to later.
Question number two is this. What's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I'm going to talk about this at our upcoming conference and the opening remarks. When I went looking for Bitcoin, I went looking for an investment opportunity. When I really started to dig into it, I was surprised to come away with an aspect of freedom. That was a delight for me that I had not expected to find. And maybe that should have been inferred, you know, when I read the white paper for the first time, when I really started looking at this, but the individual sovereignty that can come with ownership and control of Bitcoin, and really starting to zoom out and appreciate the privileges that we've had, you know, being back-to-back World War II champs and the dollar dominance, starting to consider what would this be like if you were in a third world country or a first world country that had become a second world country, you know, due to poor allocation of resource decisions from governments. And I could really start to see where this would matter to the freedom and sovereignty of the individual. That was probably the biggest surprise and the biggest takeaway that I think people should have when they look at Bitcoin and start to ask the question, why might we need this, you know, in our society? What's broken? And all those things kind of spin back to, you know, one's liberty. Mm-hmm.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Well, we've developed a really good partnership and friendship with the folks at Unchained Capital. Because of the due diligence we've performed on them, I would feel very comfortable sending friends or family to have a conversation with them. There's other folks in the space that we've met as well, you know, who I think are reputable and good to visit with. But if you're just getting started, they have, you know, certainly become, you know, my go-to for at least one of the resources they should reach out to and consider.
Question number four is this. Beyond Bitcoin, what is a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work at Build Asset Management recently?
Well, I think it starts with principle of curiosity. Anytime you talk about someone and their review of Bitcoin, it starts to sound like The Bachelor. Because if you recall, if you've ever seen the show, it's always referred to as one's journey, you know, their relationship. And so folks talk about the journey, the rabbit hole, having been or on their way to being orange pilled. So I think it starts with curiosity. One question leads to another. The resources that I've most enjoyed are the podcasts that are out there, you know, opportunities like this one. There's many others. Oftentimes I'll start with a podcast, hear about some type of a material that I need to pick up and read. Just recently, and I think we're going to make this available to, you know, people we work with, Fidelity just updated, you know, their digital assets team just updated kind of their thesis on Bitcoin. I think it has a 2023 copyright on it. So you're starting to see more institutional pieces that you can complement with, you know, emerging Bitcoin financial service companies. So I think that's always nice when you say, here's something that you're familiar with, complement that with something you may not have heard of, but you should explore, like a piece from Unchained. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've been authoring some pieces as well, especially, you know, where Bitcoin fits in the credit system.
Very cool. Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
That, you know, knowing that coming into the show, it's a good question. I think they're both important. I'm going to be your scapegoat here on this one and say, this is kind of chicken or the egg, right? I think first principles would start with why, you know, just in terms of, I've got three kids. We were talking about family, you know, ahead of the show. So I get the why question a lot, and I think that's important and something I certainly encourage my kids to ask. To be bold, to create change, you know, to go through that, that element of change, I think you have to ask why not. And sometimes that's the final step, you know, to achieve some necessary evolution, mm-hmm. right? If it's up to me type of mentality. And sometimes that requires, you know, the why not question. But certainly encourage all the little ones out there to ask why as much as they can.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, John, we're here today to talk about a number of things, primarily build asset management and how Bitcoin is pristine collateral. Bitcoiners have heard that term. They've used that term perhaps, but we're going to delve into that today, as well as how it should change how people think about credit and credit risk. Before we get into build and what you're doing there, though, we have Bitcoin Expedition coming up very soon. We've already promoted it on this show in today's episode, but could you give us a quick overview of what the event is, kind of why you're organizing it? And also, I'm asking this selfishly, but can people who are not able to attend this year look forward to potentially attending in future years?
It's a maybe to the last question. Okay. I'm excited about registration. And, you know, right now it looks like we have about 150 guests expected. That's going to feel like a very full room in the venue that we've selected. I differentiate this as very much an educational opportunity. We are going to ask why and why not. You know, in the conference through a series of panels and conversations. It's not going to feel like the party, you know, if you've gone to Miami Bitcoin, which mm-hmm. I've been to a few times. This is not a festival. We are going to celebrate the opportunity to educate oneself. And I think for Matt and I, both being from Jefferson City, you know, one of the things that's unique about its location, it's at the middle of America. So we're talking about the heartland. A lot of times ideas, new ideas, especially in tech and innovation, seem to be coastal ideas that come in eventually. And I think in this setting, you know, this is an opportunity to bring a needed conversation through credible, licensed financial individuals who are willing to talk about this. I think so often when I ask individuals or advisors, what is their stance on Bitcoin? What's their stance on digital assets? How are they engaging their customers and their community in that conversation? They give me the Fight Club answer. If you remember the Brad Pitt movie, you know, it's there, but we don't talk about mm-hmm. it. And that's kind of the marching orders they've gotten from their compliance team. And I feel like that's malpractice, you know, from the financial services industry. It's really easy to tell people, hey, this is not a recommendation for you to go buy Bitcoin. You know, I would need to sit down with you, or a financial professional would need to sit down with you in order to understand, right, your facts and circumstances before you can make any recommendation. But let's talk about this. Let's demystify it. What is it? Back to your why not question. Why do we need this? Why are we talking about something that's been around for 15 years, whose technology has worked flawlessly, where no government has forced anyone to use it? It's grown by voluntary means, you know, only. Are you curious at all as to why that's happening? And then we're going to talk about, you know, our thesis on why it's happening, where we think it's going. It's timely. The SEC just lost, you know, its appeal to Grayscale and other folks who want to come into the spot Bitcoin ETF market. As I mentioned earlier, you're seeing more institutional adoption, you know, and thought leadership, not less, like the Fidelity piece that I just mentioned. Each of the large financial institutions who had, you know, once wrote Bitcoin off as something that was going to die quickly, and, you know, was in the realm of scams, has totally reversed course, and they now have a business plan and a business model that involves Bitcoin, whether that's the ETF business or some type of custody relationship. So again, it's just get information from people who, you know, think deeply about the topic, and hopefully you consider to be credible. Now, we'll tell you if we don't know, but we're going to try to present a lot of ideas from people who we think and we admire as people who think deeply about this. You know, people I think are serious people, and their thoughts deserve to be heard. So we just put that out there to the region, you know, first starting with our community, found support from our Chamber of Commerce, who said, yeah, we think this is an important conversation for businesses and stakeholders to be a part of. Then to our Economic Development Partnership entity, same thing. They said, yeah, we think this is an important conversation. Mm-hmm. A community bank, and a regional bank now, an accounting firm, you know, each of those entities said, yes, we have been asked questions about this. This is probably important for our clients to know more about. And then opening up, you know, the invitation more regionally. Frankly, folks from anywhere are welcome to come. But we do think that this is a really nice hub, you know, as a Midwestern opportunity. And I heard from a few folks earlier this week, including our speakers, first time they're going to step foot in the Show Me State. And so, you know, when I think about the state motto, you know, I'm proud to show them both a good time, also a state that I'm proud to be a citizen of. I think Missouri has some fantastic economic opportunities for those who are looking to expand their business, including those who have a business that's related somehow to Bitcoin. And not only do I think hope they're going to have a good time and find a really receptive audience, I hope they find the Show Me State as a place that embraces freedom, opportunity, and doesn't stifle, you know, new ideas. And I think that's what they'll be met with here in Missouri's capital city. If it's a great success and we can replicate this in the future, then we'd love to do that.
Well, it's encouraging to see. I mean, you're doing something in the capital of Missouri. As someone who lives right outside the capital of Mississippi, this is good for me to see. For people listening to this podcast right now, check out bitcoin-expedition.com. Use it as encouragement for yourself. If you have time to buy a ticket and show up in Missouri, for sure do that as well. John, if you would share with us a little bit about Build and what I think is your initial sort of offering that is Bitcoin related.
Yeah, so Build Asset Management is a firm that Matt Dines and I started in late 2018, really got going day one, January of 2019. We've been focused on developing investment fund solutions initially, predominantly the focus on goals that produce income and risk mitigation or income through risk mitigation. That's always the balancing act that every client, whether they see themselves as conservative, moderate, or aggressive, I think is striving for, is what's the appropriate risk return profile that I'm getting. And I always, you know, like to ask the question, are you good or are you lucky? Mm. You know, from the standpoint of, can you reproduce those returns? Do you know what's causing those returns? And I think, you know, Matt and I got together, and it's related to Bitcoin, you know, really started talking professionally when we would catch up as friends at the end of our collegiate careers, you know, at least from a bachelor's degree perspective for me, beginning of a few other degrees Matt got at that point. But Matt graduated from Notre Dame in 2008, me from the University of Missouri at the same time. And you think about what's going on in the world at that time, that's the first realization of there are certain things the government considers too big to fail. And you had a lot of free market economists, you know, in that administration that participated in those bailouts. Again, the money printers, we clearly were working well-greased, you know, at that point in time. And Matt and I came together and just said, I don't know when this movie ends, but this does not end well. You know, and we were concerned for our economy, for our nation, we're proud as, you know, as patriots, what's our standing in the world going to look like as a consequence of these decisions? What does this mean for the baby boom generation? We have the biggest wave of people at that time stepping up to the plate to retire. I think it's still happening at a clip of about 10,000 a day, but mm-hmm. 2008, 2009, it's about the first time statistically you were seeing that boomer generation retire en masse. And advisors were retiring folks on the Markowitz 60-40 portfolio, stocks to bonds, 60% to 40%, with the idea that those two things worked in opposite directions of one another to complement risk. For the fact that you didn't know what would lie ahead, you'd have some concept of diversification. And we believe that one of the consequences of the decisions of 2008, you know, from the G7 powers, was that you would see those things start to converge closer to one over time. And we've definitely been seeing that. We know that the consequences of 08 forced investors out onto the equity curve, where they would have preferred to be in fixed income or capital preservation instruments earning some type of interest. You know, that clearly was obsolete for 20 years by design. And, you know, and then COVID, we just think accelerated the inevitable. Mm-hmm. So the inflation, you know, we were on record with journalists who told us we were in the minority camp when we were saying, no, this inflation is not transitory, you know, in many aspects of the economy. The reason why, you know, is more fundamental to these decisions than it is to supply chains, although that's not helping. But that, you know, COVID was just an accelerant, we think, to something that, again, we didn't know when the movie would end, but we just said, this does not end well. And again, somewhere in there, Matt was continuing to spoon feed me, yes, we can solve this problem. By the way, you should look at Bitcoin a little bit more than you are today, John. So we started by building funds, public market funds. Today, we have a collective investment trust for 401k plans. Now we have an ETF that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. Those strategies mimic one another. What they're intended to do is to deliver a better risk return profile than their benchmark. We think that we're, at least from the data relative to the benchmark, we think we're achieving that goal at this time. But it's a difficult market because the ingredients you're limited to are the public market stock and bond solutions that you can mix into those funds. You know, as we were keeping our eye out for other types of good risk return opportunities, we came across a lending product that Unchained Capital was offering to its clients. And through business development conversations, you know, that led to a partnership and eventually a fund that we launched called the Build Secured Income One Fund, which is dedicated to buying loans from Unchained, which are over-collateralized by on-chain Bitcoin, and which use their multi-signature 203 key system to secure that Bitcoin. And, you know, historically, that product, Unchained's product, which has existed since 2017, has issued over $500 million in loans, has no impairments to those loans, which is an industry term for how much of the principal has been lost due to loans going bad. And the current answer is zero. And we think that there's a high likelihood that that will remain unimpaired. And that product is really neat because when you ask people, people have very different opinions about Bitcoin, especially at this point in time. But regardless of what your opinion about Bitcoin is, whether you've, you know, early or long into that journey that we were talking about earlier, if you understand Bitcoin's fungibility and the security protocols around how this collateral is being stored, we really do think that it is an improved source of collateral compared to other types of collateral used in private credit funds. That's what this is a type of private credit fund. It's a Reg D offering. That's a fancy industry terminology, which means that it's limited to accredited investors only. So this is not something that everyone can access yet. We hope as that market and industry grows, loan demand grows and loan supply grows, that we'll be able to mainstream the solution. What's really neat about it is we seek a 10 to 12% internal rate of return, and we give customers the opportunity to turn that into monthly income for those who need it. So you think back to what Matt and I were trying to solve through our public market funds. I think we've delivered an improved, in our opinion, we've delivered an improved version of what's been previously available in public market funds. But what are you trying to solve for? You're trying to solve for the income need that retirees have. Every retiree, you and me eventually will have this need. You're trying to solve for the risk return complement and balance that they're looking for. You know, is my principal at risk? What's the likelihood of me getting return of capital? Number one. Number two, what is the opportunity to get return on that capital, right? The interest or the income that you're getting. And then is that attractive relative to the other risks that I'd have to take to get that same yield or same income, you know, through market sources? So we make the case that the answer is yes. You can appreciate, Josh, we have to distill that down to each individual and decide whether they're appropriate to enter the fund or meet the criteria. So it's not a broad, you know, blanket recommendation, mm-hmm. but we really feel like we're helping birth a new part of the credit industry. You know, these are bank issued loans, and the Bitcoin stored the way and collateralized the way that it is really is an asset backed security. So that's a whole industry within the bond and credit markets. We feel like this is just a new vertical within the bank issued asset backed security market. The rating agencies haven't looked at it yet, but again, we think that's because we're early to this game. And we're excited to help try to grow that opportunity with our partners at Unchained.
I have two questions before we wrap up. And the first is, could you just talk about Bitcoin and why it is such a superior asset when it comes to collateral for a loan?
In a word, it's fungibility. So if protected the right way, which is the 203 key system, if over-collateralized, so these loans, a little bit more about the structure. These are bank issued, as I said earlier. So you get rid of the dark pools of money. So that if Josh wants to come in and get a loan, you have to show up at Lead Bank, which is in Kansas City. You have to go through all the bank, know your customer requirements, identify why you need the loan. But then the capital is just in time. At that point in time, once they've identified that you're not on some, you know, do not fly or do not lend list, you just have to have the Bitcoin. And if you're willing to post the Bitcoin, which is a 40% loan to value, the easier way for some of your listeners to think about that is 2.5 times collateral to loan. So if you showed up and you wanted a $100,000 cash loan, after approval, you'd have to put up $250,000 worth of Bitcoin. So well over collateralized, which is the opposite of what you typically see in the private credit space. I would just challenge, I haven't ever seen another private credit product that requires that degree of over collateralization. Why do you require that degree of over collateralization is the question. Back to your why not? prompt from earlier, Josh. And the reason is because Bitcoin price is still volatile, and we would expect it to remain volatile even though we're bullish on where it sits long term. So to deal with that volatility without having to take away the Bitcoin from the borrower, you don't want to blow up your customer, right? That's the same as repossessing the family farm. We don't want to do that. So we want to give them ample opportunity to ebb and flow through the market cycles that we're going to have with Bitcoin. And you may have seen, you know, when we're recording this on 1017, just yesterday, there was some fake news put out about the ETF having been approved, and you saw a big price spike all of a sudden. So it works on both sides, but the price is going to be volatile for fake news and real news, and also just, you know, investor perceptions. But there's a margin call process that ensues. I feel like a very fair process. It gives the borrower plenty of time to decide whether they want to pay down the loan or they want to post more Bitcoin. That's really the two choices you get when you enter a margin call. And again, you would enter margin call most often when there's a price decrease. So what we're worried about is a sharp price decrease. And you've seen some of these, right? There's been 250% down movements since the beginning of the loan program by Unchained in 2017. There was a 30% day the day that FTX blew up. So it can happen quickly, and you've got to make sure that that collateral is there. At 1.1 times, the loan is sold out, right? So there's a secondary market to sell Bitcoin 24/7. This is what Unchained gets paid to do as servicer in the fund program. But at 1.1 times collateral to loan value, all of your opportunities to cure as a borrower, you've been provided many ahead of that, but you don't get notices anymore. You're automatically sold out. Mm. And then we settle that, you know, the next business day. But fungibility is the word. So I just explained to you, you know, the mechanics of how the watch works. Let's replace Bitcoin now in this example with the more common asset used in private credit to get a similar type return profile, but we think at more risk to the investor and more, you know, more risk ultimately to the, you know, to the general partner, the fund manager, which is real estate. So you look at all of the, you know, let's think about most of these projects have a multi-year life cycle to them. Real estate that was once, you know, class A real estate in some of your highest flying employment markets like San Francisco or New York are sitting at a 50% occupancy today. You know, for a couple of reasons. In part, COVID really forced the question of, you know, preferences for working at home versus working in the office. Two, we've seen policies that where people have started to vote with their feet and say, you know, they don't want to be in some of these communities that were once desired, whether that's a safety issue or other issues. And so now you're sitting with buildings that simply aren't Class A anymore. And so they're, you know, 50 cents on the dollar in some cases. You've heard of these deals where some of the buildings are being bought up, you know, literally half off of what they were valued at pre-COVID. You have to hire a real estate agent. You have to hire an appraiser. There's attorneys involved, accountants involved. So what's your time preference to exit? And do you feel like you can exit dollar for dollar? The goal in real estate is always to make money on that real estate, right? To exit above your cost basis, but it's not fungible. And so this concept that that prices don't go down in real assets, in my lifetimes, we've proven that's not true a couple of times, especially in the real estate arena. So that's the compare contrast that we're doing. And that's how we end up with our firm's belief that we think this is a better risk return holding than some of the other more common types of collateral and private credit.
Mm-hmm. And then final thing, maybe you can just answer this in 60 seconds or so, but I'm hoping that you can kind of expand a business owner's minds on the value of holding Bitcoin on your balance sheet, not just as an asset to preserve purchasing power, but as collateral if and when needed.
That's the answer. It's collateral. So what's your time preference for access to money? And I have some really long-standing, generational-standing relationships with community banks and credit unions who I use and bank with today. And I mean, truly have personal relationships with my lender, the presidents of those entities. I want them all to succeed and for them to be, you know, available and accessible in our community. The problem is, even though they know me, even though we're friends, even though they have, you know, my financials from a couple of years ago on record, and we always pay back our loans. If I came to them today and said, hey, I've got a great opportunity, personal or business, and I want to pursue it. And even if they walked out of the meeting and said, we think that's a fantastic opportunity and we'd like to bank it and lend against it. The amount of time, the amount of paperwork, the amount of things that I have to collect and bring them in order to have access to that capital is a time suck. And so if that opportunity is time sensitive, there's your answer. It's the ability to use Bitcoin. And it, remember what I said, lead bank issues the loans, not based on the worthiness of the deal. It's not that they don't care. They get to be dispassionate about the deal because the collateral is Bitcoin. So if you believe in the narrative that Bitcoin will go up and you're willing to meet the margin call requirements of the loan, but your preference is access to capital quickly, that may give you the opportunity to build your enterprise faster than your competition can expand. If you see an opportunity in the market, it may give you the opportunity to buy some of that depressed property we were talking about faster. It may afford you the opportunity. I've talked to one borrower who, you know, almost uses that as a bridge loan. They're in the business of remodeling. So they use it as a way to get access to capital while they flip a property or improve it to bring to market. But they're not looking to be long-term, you know, holders, and their capital, their personal financial statement changes. I've already failed the 60-second test, haven't I? Their personal financial statement changes with every property they acquire. And so just to go through the hassle of getting that loan, you're right. You have the appreciation opportunity if you believe in that narrative. But again, what I think is so neat about this product and the way the fund helps provide capital for the lending product, kind of works in that whole ecosystem of borrower, investor, is the fungibility aspect in terms of our ability to liquidate the Bitcoin and access time preference for the individual who's receiving the funds. And that's really, you know, a symbiotic relationship. And, you know, diversification isn't going away just because we're talking about Bitcoin. You know, nowhere in here do we say put all of your money into any one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so having some of it may be a prudent exercise for a business owner to consider. And we've talked to some business owners who use this loan product who have, you know, raved about how it's helped them at various points in their business cycle.
Perfect. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today, for being generous with it. As we're finishing up, if you have any additional thoughts you'd like to share with people, please do that, as well as give people an idea of where they can go to keep up with what you guys are doing at Build. And if they have questions that have arisen from what we've talked about today, where they can go to kind of connect with you and have a follow-up conversation.
Yeah, so you can find information about the company, our offerings at getbuilding.com, getbuilding.com. You'll find us at the same places on LinkedIn. Matt, BuildCIO on Twitter, puts out some really thought-provoking and deep stuff, especially on the credit markets and the economy. So he's built up a nice following there. That's my business partner and the chief investment officer at Build. Again, BuildCIO on Twitter. And again, we've been more active in putting out some of our own thoughts in different forms of media, written interview opportunities like this one. So we'll post or repost those on our LinkedIn page. And you know, just enjoy being active in, from an advice perspective, continue to be curious ourselves, kind of where we started in the interview. I think that's a key theme here. You have to ask yourself, you know, why are we even having a conversation about Bitcoin? What's broken with our current system? Why, if you're a business owner or involved in a business and you're a listener, this is probably a brand new topic. It's not something they taught you at any business school, most likely. Wharton, Harvard, or otherwise. So you're going to have to be a self-learner. And again, the malfeasance from, you know, the financial industry stepping away from this conversation as opposed to leading it has given the opportunity, I think, for some snake oil to enter. So we're not a believer in all digital assets by any means. We're a Bitcoin-first enterprise. And we could talk longer about why that is or why we differentiate Bitcoin. But you're going to have to be curious, and you're also going to have your alarm, you know, bells up, because you're going to have to do some of your own diligence as you go through this process. But again, after 15 years, you know, I like the Mike Tyson quote of everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face. Bitcoin has taken some pretty serious punches, and it continues to evolve and grow. And the technology, you know, supporting the transactions has performed flawlessly, again, through a completely voluntary, environment. That in and of itself, I think, is pretty interesting and probably deserves curiosity and some personal question and, soul searching for business owners who are thinking about, their allocation of capital.
Absolutely. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Looking forward to doing the next one.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or John, you can find those links down in the show notes. Be sure to keep up with what Build Asset Management is doing and get out to Bitcoin Expedition if you can. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.